You can handle the truth. Truth.
All right, that's better.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on Republic Broadcasting Network and also KiwiRadio.nz. Go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and click on the little Kiwi Radio Live link when we are live. That's 10 a.m. New Zealand Standard Time just for this month during the time zone switchovers. And 4 p.m. CST will remain static. Now, that's assuming I don't go to prison for standing within 2 meters of another person in 8 days. So there's going to be one more episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, at least, and I have a list of other hosts and things of that nature to take over my time slot should I spend time in a penitentiary. And that will be a new experience for me. Now, I would like to advise people now, but just before we get going, my very special guest, Gregory Hugh, who I met at the River of Lies documentary screening about decentralized governance, would just like to advise people that I'm very much struggling right now. I need $35 in order to make my automatic payments for tomorrow. I need $5 into the PayPal and $30 into the Kiwi Bank. So if you have PayPal and you have $5, please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and donate $5 so I can withdraw my PayPal money this week, which will allow me to pay my automatic payments and child support and things of that nature tomorrow. Very important. Thank you so much for those of you who do support the show on a regular basis. You can go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and you will see on screen the, for those of you was in the radio listening audience, it's not quite so beneficial, but on screen for the video listeners, you can see the Kiwi Bank, and you can also become a Patreon of my band Vinny and the Vendettas, who make the music for the show. All right, so that's the basic housekeeping out of the way. Greg, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Vinny. It's nice to be here, mate. And actually, it's quite an honour to be on your show, just to tell you the truth, yeah.
Well, thanks, bro. I get that a lot. We... we have a kind of penchant on the show for having a little bit of fun and what have you, because, you know, just because you're living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs, you know. And I've got, maybe I'm mentally ill or something, or maybe I'm just bright enough to realize the fabric of the universe that serious information will always be serious, and just because you make jokes about it doesn't make it any less serious. What it means is you're going to have a trigger of endorphin rush through your system to help you shed your fear of it. Okay, the famous TV show Doctor Who, I was enlightened by a fellow talk radio show host on American Freedom Radio back in the day, Sean David Morton, that the way Doctor Who survives and fights his innumerable and incredibly horrific enemies across time and space is he uses humor. He makes jokes out of these terrible threats that he's dealing with in order to be able to deal with them. So that's the point of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here to, you know, wake you up and make you all informed and things of that nature. I'm just here to help you do what must be done so that you don't lose your sanity whilst you are learning about these various things that you haven't previously been taught by the mainstream education and media systems. So Gregory, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you please, long form is the idea. We've got a good nearly 20-minute segment here. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what it is you do, and go into your ideas for the audience, please, mate?
Right. Well, let's just talk about the last 3 years. And it was encapsulated in a phrase I heard the other day, from straw man to lawman. And that's pretty much, that's part of my journey here. I've lived in New Zealand now for 40 odd years. I've done a great many things. But really, the important part here is learning the law. And I think this should be taught in schools. It's one of the things that isn't taught, really what the law is all about and who we are as people. And whenever I talk publicly, I talk as the living man. We are all living men and women, and we stand as equals. We stand under the law, and the law is God's law, natural law. Mark Passio refers to it as natural law, but it's the common law, the ancient common law of the people. We stand under this law, and there's only one law: do no harm. Don't steal life, freedom, property, or well-being from anybody. And that's all we actually need. So, I've been involved in the freedom movement here for, as I say, the last 3 years. And spoken publicly. Just a little bit of background, because of who you are and where I met you. Many years ago, I had an American-style restaurant, Roadhouse, up in northern New Zealand. And Billy T. Kay came in one day and he said, I'd love to do a gig here. And because it was, it's perfect. And so we did the biggest event that's ever been in the north there. I think we had 300 people, like a day festival. And Billy with his band, his rock band, and we played music all day. It was great. And then I met you at down in Auckland at a protest down there. When I think it was the first protest. And I tapped Billy on the shoulder and I said, you're not going to remember me, but you're going to remember the gig you did up at the Texas Diner. And he turned around and said, oh, God, yeah, that was fantastic. And we've been friends ever since. And that's why I met you. You were leading the protest at the time. funny thing of that. And that's a little bit about myself. There's a lot more, of course, but we don't have a week. So what would you like to ask me?
Well, the reason why we had you on the show is decentralized governance. Now, of course, both obviously students of Mark Passio, governe means to control. That's the Latin for govern. And yep. Mente means the mind, which government, governamente, means mind control. So I was thinking about this concept here. Do we have the ability to have systems in place that can help things not go into complete chaos, yet not be ruled over? And of course, the answer to that would be making people aware of and start voluntarily adhering to the tenets of natural law, or what's known as karmic law, which has basically one main premise, as Mark put it, is that it will be true when the universe began, and it will be true when the universe ends. That's a universal truth, and this is the universal truth that we must abide by. You cannot take that which does not belong to you. So please, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And as I've just stated, we can set in place, and we are, and it's already being set in place here in New Zealand, alternative parallel structures. These are the common law groups. And, there are, a lot of assemblies. And so it comes down to using the natural law, do no harm. And so my vision, or vision of many others, in fact, now a lot of people are talking about decentralized governance. Do we actually need a government? If we stand as equals and we stand supreme on this land and on this earth, do we need people ruling over us at all? Or can we rule, and can we just govern ourselves, I guess you would call it. So in other words, governance from the bottom up. And this is not new. We're going back way into the past here, where in ancient societies, especially in England and such, the Celtic societies, the Anglo-Saxons, they had their local meetings, and any laws were created by the people for the people. And this is what we've got to get back to. We've already started setting up the structure for a decentralized governance. And so what comes next are regional common law courts of justice. And we've already got the International Common Law Court of Justice, and this was Kevin Annette dealing with the children in Canada. And so there's also already a precedent, was the word I was looking for, already a precedent for these local or regional courts of justice, which include records, courts of record as well, and where the people can settle their own disputes. So we're looking here at many, and the idea here is to create a structure that can't be corrupted, because the problem with all democracies, with all government, is centralized power. Anywhere you centralize power, you're going to get corruption. It's too easy to do, especially if you're ruthless and, dare I say, psychopaths. It's too easy to do. Either the people involved are corrupted by their own sense of superiority, or they are corrupted from without, bribery, blackmail, or threat. If somebody points a gun at your family or threatens your family, what are you going to do? So the problem is the intrinsic flaw in centralized power, centralized governance. We have, and there's only, as I see it, there's only one way to avoid this, is to decentralize all power. Put it back in the hands of the people. So in other words, the model that I think I started talking to you about was a great many, here, let's, we're talking about New Zealand here, let's create local shires, we'll call them shires, this was historically, goes back to England, and but have a lot of them. You know, we could have 500 of them. And so local issues are dealt with in the local areas. And again, you have to keep in mind that we're dealing with this law, God's law, natural law of do no harm. And if everybody is held to that and all local laws are made consistent with that, then I can see it working. I can see the whole thing working here. We don't need millions of laws. I think in America there's something like 6 million laws on the book. Seriously, how can anybody deal with that? We actually only need this common law. So keep that in mind, that everybody now is dealing in good faith, dealing like in the old days, a handshake was a man's word, an old man's word was his bond and his handshake. So
do you know why? Shook hands back in the day, and it was to show that they weren't holding a weapon, that they come in peace.
I use a warrior's handshake, which is this one. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, the idea here is this model is actually really quite simple. So everybody's operating in under natural law. And so we've got many of these local, we'll call them shires, and then for national issues, they vote on national issues at the local level, and then they send one, and I'll call him a representative, to like a national congress, whatever you want to call it. And there'd be about 500 of these. But this has to be totally transparent. These positions, these representatives, are transitory. They can be instantly recalled. However they vote is recorded. It's open. There's no secrecy here. So the shire knows exactly how their representative has voted on any issue. There are too many of them to corrupt from the outside, and because there's no status from to be gained from this presentative, he's simply presenting the views of the people. So this is bottom up.
Governance, you know.
Bottom-up governance, yeah. For the people, by the people. And it should be, if it's transparent, it should be incorruptible, and that's what we need. And as I see it, I can't see any other way for this to work, because anywhere you're going to concentrate power, and I go into it in great deal. I've written a document. I think I sent you the document. I went into it in a great deal of thought as to how this would actually work, and I think it could actually work this way. So the structure could be easily. The structure is almost there already. We've already got electorates. It's just a matter of redistributing the numbers here, and let's go back to what we had in the old days: decentralized power for the people.
So I see in the overlay here, you've got the capacity for large amounts of people to maintain control over not only themselves, but their regions, their localities, communities, and things of that nature. So the more people are, the smaller the area really becomes that it's governed. So, for example, central Auckland has, 100,000 people, give or take, within its general vicinity, Herne Bay or whatever. Too many people for one person to represent. Because what's the chance that you're going to be able to talk to 100,000 people today, all right, and hear all their views and things of that nature? So more likely, I think it's going to be far, 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 far smaller, like a portion of a street. Back in the day, we had in Auckland borough councils, and how it worked was you'd be living on a street, let's say it's Buccleuch Street or whatever, and you every week have a meeting with the street, okay, bonfire or whatever, and a few beers, and you just talk about the issues of the street. Which street lights are out? Are there too many cars speeding by? Is it too bright? Do people need blackout curtains? Whatever. And one guy who's the representative for that particular section of the street would then have a monthly meeting with all the other guys in the particular council area that were the representatives for their streets. So you have direct connection, only 2 degrees of separation between the people who are living there and the people who are representing them. They know them by their name, they see them every week, and that kind of thing limits corruption because it increases community. And they found this in a small Mexican town that went a bit anarchist for a while. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, anarchist means you're against controllers. They followed a very similar model. And crime, just in general, murders, rapes, burglaries, theft, so on and so forth, they virtually disappeared. They even outlawed campaigning. They had political representatives from the local Mexican government coming in trying to get people's votes, and they had their own local appointed sheriff who would point a gun at them and say, get those pamphlets the hell out of here, bro.
We've got to do it. A lot of people talk about non-violent non-compliance, and we can't get violent. There's no way you can do that. They have the guns, they have the enforcement. I was thinking the other day, we've got the banksters who actually run the whole show. They run the corporations and the governments. You've got the pranksters who are the politicians and the department heads and the health officials and such. And then you've got the gangsters, and the gangsters are the enforcers, you know. So that's pretty much the model we've got at the moment, and it's not working. It hasn't worked for a long time. I spoke recently about voting, you know, are we going to vote? And a lot of the freedom movement especially are walking a very tight path at the moment and they don't know which way to step off. Yeah, exactly. They don't know whether to vote or not vote. And I'll put in a plug for the New Zealand NZ Loyal Party here. I actually joined the party originally, but underneath I wrote that I wasn't going to vote for any party, because why would I support a system that hasn't worked in 100 years and is fraudulent? It's corrupt. It's corrupted to the core.
Also, Patio was talking about this. He says there's a difference between a politician and a privatician, right? Because if you've got this system that's all set up like this, you're not going to all of a sudden make it like this. You know, what's this? It's a dead one of these. And the thing about it here is you need, and this has been the lesson of history, to make these gradual changes. And so what Liz Gunn has been doing, or at least according to my partner Rebecca, who's been listening to all of Mark Passio's podcasts, is she's acting more like a privatician, somebody who is trying to get this system to stop doing what it's doing and return it to that, well, for lack of a better term, decentralized governance to a large degree. Party policy seems to be very much along those lines. And that's good. And I'm kind of like thinking, how many other freedom parties are there, and what are they doing? But the real question is, are they privatitians or are they politicians? Are they trying to get rid of this system? And that's all that really needs to be done. If you've got hierarchical systems of control and they're the ones causing all the problems, all you got to do is just get rid of them.
Yeah, there's a few people who think they can fix the system. But as I see it, the system is intrinsically flawed by this centralized power. Anywhere you've got power, it's just too easy to corrupt. And yeah, Liz is doing a really great job there of exposing the corruption, and not just in government. And yes, I like your comparison there. Most of them that are out there at the moment are professional politicians. They'll tell you everything you want to hear, and then they'll go and do what they're told by, literally by the banksters. So,
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he's not talking figuratively here. This is actually quite literal. In Alistair Barry's documentary, Someone Else's Countries, we had a number of New Zealand politicians all consecutively, as soon as the day that they are elected, the next day they are brought into the Prime Minister's office by the head of Treasury that says, and this is Prime Minister after Prime Minister, congratulations. However, all these promises that you've made, if you keep any of them and don't do what we tell you, we're going to collapse the economy and we'll make sure that people blame you.
Yeah, exactly. Our politicians are not in control of this country, and I think that's pretty evident to anybody in the truth movement, in the freedom movement. And it's the same thing, like even if New Zealand Loyal was to get a great number of votes in the population, they've still contracted. By registering their party, they've contracted to the government. And now we're getting actually into legal law. And once you contract, you're now subject to all acts and statutes. And I believe that MPs entering Parliament have to actually take an oath of allegiance to the Crown. Now, the Crown, of course, is not who we think it is.
Specifically, the Crown and all their successors.
Yeah.
Perpetuity.
Yeah, but this Crown that they take the oath to is not the Crown of England. This is the Crown Corporation. This is Her Majesty the Queen in right of New Zealand. This is...
Oh, unfortunately, we seem to have lost Greg there for a second. We'll come back to him in just a moment. And what he's talking about here is how the Crown legal system basically is a fictional entity. It's called the Queen and Right of New Zealand. And you can look this up on the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States. If you want to get into the background, the password is 8888. And this is essentially a ruse, more or less, that, Greg's back. I'm just going to finish this point here. Just to explain to people about the Queen and Right of New Zealand, and how essentially what you can do is you can take what is previously known as government for the people, by the people, and government of the corporations for the corporations, by the corporations. And that's more or less how it works. Now, in order to do that, you need to turn a living man or a living woman with their own spirit and their own consciousness into a dead entity. That's where we get corpse. That's where corporation comes from. They're dead entities. Now, if you have a dead entity, you would think of this on the stock market, okay, like a stock receipt. And if you've got a birth certificate, you'll notice it's got a little barcode on there, or a little a number or a serial number or something of that nature. That's what a stock receipt is. When you buy a cow or a chicken or something like that, they are live stock, okay? And that is precisely what they've turned us into with this governance structure. All right, that big old Illuminati all-seeing eye pyramid just going ha 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 ha, laughing at you, laughing at me, and getting away with all this scumbaggery.
Can I just make a comment on that? So it all comes down to consent. The corporation acts and statutes, it's all business, it's all commerce, all legal laws are about commerce. It's about literally fleecing the stock, shearing the stock, you might say.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I looked up recently the definition of racketeering. Okay.
Yeah.
That's,
you got it.
This isn't commerce. This is racketeering.
Yeah. 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 They've gone way past commerce now. It is racketeering. You're absolutely right. But the point I want to make here is that without our consent, right? In other words, without our contract, they cannot. We are not subject to their acts and statutes. As living men and women, we have supreme authority on this land, and until we contract and become the straw man, this is what you were talking about before. The straw man. The fiction, the legal entity, dead legal entity, or the stock. So the thing to take away from this is stand who you are as a living man and woman, stand and simply say, I do not consent. This is what non-compliance is actually all about. Do not consent. And of course, they try to trick you with all of their contracting. And you can be tricked in many ways. And to give you an example, when stopped on the roadside by the boys in blue, the first thing they ask you is your name and address. This is contracting. When you answer their questions, when you don't answer their questions and be silent, you are contracting. It's considered contract. And you are now subject to all acts and statutes. Now, we simply have to stand as who we are, supreme authority on this earth, as living men and women. This is God-given. This is your inalienable rights. These are your human, well, I won't use the word human, but these are your rights as living man.
Indeed. And Greg will be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. We'll be right back on republicbroadcasting.org and the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. Make a donation today, and we'll be right back with you any moment now.
I feel frustrated, yeah, but I'm not complaining. Oh, I feel frustrated. Afraid it won't make it. No, I feel frustrated.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest hour in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's been going for quite some time, ladies and gentlemen. Since 2008, we have been doing this broadcast. Originally went out there going to protests and public meetings with a camera before the advent of live radio and streaming and all of this kind of stuff was possible. So now it's you could do the same job with minimal effort by comparison to how much it took, you know, 200,000 hours of editing back in the day. So anyway, there is a long track record of the Vinnie Eastwood Show and thousands upon thousands of different guests that we've had talking about hundreds and hundreds of different topics. So go to the vinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on the latest tab and you will have access to all of the Vinnie Eastwood Show stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and have a look at all the people that we've been interviewing over the years about so many different things. The reason why we do this is because you might not necessarily know what's of interest to you. Just keep listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and every episode you'll be learning about something completely different. And what this does is it gives you perspective, allows you to stop living in a malaise of ignorance. Speaking of which, Billy TK and myself, the verdict for our crimes of standing within 2 meters of another human being is going to be due on the 10th of October. That's coming up in about 8 days at the time of this broadcast. So if anybody is capable of coming down there to the High Court at 10 a.m. on the 10th of the 10th to support us, please do so. And I would also appreciate you sharing that fact with the local New Zealand alternative media, who largely have not shown up to support us or given any coverage to our plight, despite what it means for the country as a whole. We're talking about whether or not you have the right to protest, whether or not you have the right to gather. Okay, this is all on the line here. And as what happened with Alex Jones and the deplatforming error, once that happened to him and there wasn't enough noise and there wasn't enough consequences for the establishment takes it as a big thumbs up from all of you. Yeah, jail people for protesting. I'm facing 3 months prison and Billy TK is facing 4 months prison. So if you could go to the vinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on that big blue The Day Democracy Died banner, you can watch the 30-minute documentary that I made about that day. And I very much hope that you share that out with people and turn up to our court case as well. My very special guest, Gregory Hugh, has been silently waiting there in the background. Greg, welcome back, brother.
I'm glad to be back, mate. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what would you like to ask me some questions?
Okay. So the first question I'd like to ask is, if you're talking about a decentralized governance model, what are the countermeasures that you have in place? Because the establishment won't just let go of power. And you're saying don't use violence, and I completely agree. It comes from the Latin volare, which means to violate. And therefore you can't use it, but you can use defensive force. And if we are under attack and they're killing people left, right and center with their various means and scumbaggery, people have a right to self-defense.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I've been doing some workshops on all aspects of defense, how to defend ourselves against corporate attack, against environmental, the poisons in the environment, all sorts. We're being attacked from every direction. And one of them, of course, is the law. And that's one way, is to learn a little bit about the law and how to conduct yourself. And this is, I come back to what I was saying, know how to stand as the living man. It's I think it's important to understand the legal law and how it pertains to you, and how they trap you into becoming subject to their rules, their corporate rules. So in terms of the decentralized governance, it's already in place. We're not challenging, not me, not anybody else in this movement is challenging the government. The government can do what it wants to do. We the people, we have the numbers. We just need to do what we want to do, and to create the systems and the structures that we want, and we do it en masse. It's always been about numbers. You started the show talking about we need to make people aware of what's happening so that we can, literally create the sort of world that we want to create. No, we're not, we don't want to challenge anybody. There is nothing to be gained. In fact, most, revolutions and things have ended up worse than what they had originally, because you leave a void, and you're absolutely right. We don't want to leave a void. We need to have these structures in place. And these community structures are not just about law either. They're all about creating alternatives in schooling, in health, in energy. There's another one as well. We need to take responsibility. One of the things about freedom is that freedom comes with responsibility. And you'll hear Mark Passio talk a lot about this. I also, Jim Caviezel, who plays the lead in Tim Ballard's Sound of Freedom. And he talks about responsibility. And freedom is not the choice to do whatever you want. It's to do what you ought. In other words, you are bound by very strict laws. I mean, in certain areas now, friends of mine have been charged with being lawless when they state, well, we're not bound by acts and statutes. And then they've been accused of being lawless. Well, in fact, no, that's not the case. As living men and women, we are strictly bound by God's law, by natural law, to do no harm to others. And so we need to stand very securely, but very firmly under this law this stance of actually who we are.
I do understand this concept. I mean, but after so many years interviewing free man on the land, straw man activists, and sovereign citizens, and so on and so forth, I've determined just via looking at what's happened to them, is that you can't gain freedom without significant consequence. And in this case context, I mean, in particular, these people have lost their kids, they've lost their partners, they've lost their homes, their cars, businesses, boats, their social standing, and in many cases their sanity and their ability to really talk to other people. So these are the unintended consequences of standing up for freedom and standing in truth. And I think that these people are basically paving the way for the rest of us, right? The future is always built upon the backs of those who have come before, and that's why I've always supported these people. But also the direct consequences that they're suffering as a result of standing up for themselves. The system doesn't like that, and it doesn't just let it happen, right? There's inbuilt consequences. So people getting into this for the first time have to know, if you decide to do this, it is not going to be an easy road. It may cost you just about everything you've got. And that's what going to war is all about. People forget. We are at war, okay? These people have declared war against mankind. They've declared war against God, okay? You think there wouldn't be some kind of consequence to fighting against that? And the whole concept here that I'm talking about is courage, you know, bravery.
Yeah. Okay, can I just talk to that? Yeah, the people you're referring to, the ones that are suffering, they're suffering from ignorance, and that is ignorance of the law. They don't understand that they're not actually bound by these acts and statutes. They think that the law pertains to them, and so they go along with it. And this is actually ignorance. If you lose your home, I mean, well, I'll give you an example, that if banks foreclose on your home, okay, because you can't pay or whatever, the banks actually don't have your title. Okay, when you take out your mortgage, they actually trade your title. They don't actually have it. And I'll probably get myself in real trouble here, but the whole banking system is a fraud. Okay, and people need to learn this. They need to learn the law. They need to learn that if they stand as a living man, now, can they use force? Of course they can use force. And this has actually happened to me personally, where, yeah, we were literally, I was down at parliamentary grounds and on the first confrontation down there. And I was there educating the police as to their liabilities, not their rights, but their liabilities. Without our consent, they are now liable for their actions. They're lawless. They are outside the law if they do not have our consent. And this is the, I suppose, one of the most powerful things that we can use to defend ourselves, by not consenting to their tyranny, which is really what it is. So, yeah, this is part of learning how to defend yourself against the corporates, especially. And so I've forgotten what I was going to say something else, but I've forgotten what that is.
Well, I was thinking about this, if you're defending yourself against the law and what have you, defending yourself just by yourself, you're isolated. You know, this is how predators work. They isolate the prey. And I think that's probably the difference between a lot of the people who have, I wouldn't say failed in the sovereign citizen motif, but I'd say that they'd become victimized rather than being particularly successful. And that's because they don't understand who they're dealing with. Okay, you're going into a lawless court telling them what the law is when you know that they don't even follow their own laws, right? And that's the thing about psychopathy is there ain't no rules. They just do what they do.
What's terrifying
about the scumbaggery. Well, sorry, go ahead.
They are bound by rules. They are very much bound by laws of karma. They have their own sense of... This is why the psychopaths, the globalists, they have to tell you what they're doing ahead of time. And they broadcast this, and they've been doing it for a long time. This is all planned, and they've been doing it for a long time. And they broadcast it. It's right there in front of our face. Nothing that we say here is actually hidden. It just people need to open their eyes and go and look. Okay, your turn.
Oh mate, you know, it's just one of those mornings. Okay, well, it's about where the rubber meets the road for me. I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, these people have exotic technology. Like, I remember learning about psychotronic weapons, you know.
Yeah.
Psychological electronic weapons. They could just broadcast a signal through a Wi-Fi router or a cell phone tower or a 5G box or something like that. And the, what were they called? The MK Ultra, part of the experiment was to find out what frequencies work on the human mind and what they do. I mean, if you're in love with your missus, okay, there's a frequency associated with that. If you hate your boss and want to blow his head off, there's a frequency associated with that, okay? And so what they've done is they've mapped all of these out. And then Mark Steele, who's a former electronic weapons designer working for the British government, has come out and he cracked open one of these 5G new light boxes that they're putting in the street lamps and things like that. And he says that there's weapons technology in them. All right, that they can broadcast any of those frequencies. Do you want downtown London to go into a frenzied state and start slaughtering each other? You can do it now, right? And that's just one of the weapons that they've got at their disposal that people aren't even aware that they're probably already using right now, not only on individuals, targeted individuals and things like that, as they test out this tech and figure out the kinks and what have you so that they can more effectively weaponize it. But what if, in a passive way, the fact that there is Wi-Fi on right now in your house is affecting your frequencies, and not in a good way? Right, we've got what's called full spectrum dominance at play here, and what I think the human mind, particularly the male mind, tends to do is, and this is what women hate us for sometimes, is that we're not just sitting there listening to you moan about it, we're trying to solve it, okay? And that is why this world is in such a disarray, because you have all these people, women included, of course, trying to solve these problems whilst at the same time not necessarily having a look at the whole overlay, in that I can solve this problem, you can solve that problem, but there's still 358 more degrees of the circle of slavery that's around us that we need other people to know those sectors and to be able to do something about them, right? Call it the tactic of the cactus. Cactus covers itself in spines from all directions so that no matter where you step on it, you'll get a little prick to remind you. I'm one little prick, Gregory's another little prick. And we... for me, be so bold.
Thank you.
But as we speak, people are having meetings. People are being given bribes. People are signing documents and things of that nature. Mark Passio said that the enemies of mankind are so well organized and their will and their resources so massive that the bulk of humanity, by comparison to this, is like a baby with food dribbling down its face up against Bruce Lee in his prime. That's the situation that we're in right now as humanity. We are weak, we are ignorant, we are cowardly, and we are stupid overly. And statistics bore out on this. A friend of mine, John, he said that the average IQ of New Zealanders is actually 95. Okay, the average IQ of people in China and North Korea, by example, these are communist states, is 110. Now, why that's significant is because if I've got an IQ of 115, somebody with an IQ of 95 will not actually have the capacity to understand what I've got to say. They physically won't be able to understand it. And when you look at the placards and things like that in the New Zealand election at the moment, let's get our country back on track, we're in it for you, these are simple placations of a moronic population, which New Zealand has. How do we communicate with morons, okay, about natural law?
Yeah, well, it comes down to knowledge, doesn't it? It comes down to learning. First thing, I mean, when I do my workshops, the first thing I tell them to do is to blow up their television set. Throw it away. Right? The television set is a propaganda tool, and it inhibits you from learning. It saps your time in the evening. For Christ's sake, turn it off. I mean, apart from the physical damage it's doing to you, and you're right, they do have weapons, and the television has been weaponized. I think that's pretty obvious. What's a radar? You're absolutely right. The tentacles go very deep down into our society, right down to our mayoral level. I found out the other day our local mayor is a young globalist, a WEF young globalist. Klaus Schwab, he's out there boasting how they penetrated all the governments of the world. Yeah, they're incredibly well organized. They're infinitely financed. It seems impossible. In fact, I think I said to my wife the other day, we actually need a miracle here. A lot of people are waiting for God to save us. But I think I actually said to the universe, it's time for a miracle here because we damn well need it. But in the meantime, we have to survive, and we have to, literally it comes down to defending ourselves. And a lot of it is about knowledge. It's knowing about all the poisons. It's knowing about how they're poisoning us. And I won't go into any more detail there. It's pretty obvious. But all around us, they're laying the poisons, and many of you know this. I try to not get into the fear side of it and to get depressed about it, because we either give up or we fight. There is hope here, is that they do seem to be bound by the law, their own law. And the law is actually the law of commerce. And they actually don't want to destroy that. So if you know about equity, and if you know about trusts, and you know about how the law works, and it's all business, every aspect of our life, it's all about business. And the corporates are involved in this, of course. They're all involved in it. All I can say is, turn off your television set and start doing some research, people. There's a whole lot of us, a whole lot of people who will simply go home. They're too tired. They're too poor. They've got to work. I mean, we've got to ask ourselves some basic questions here. Do we need governments? Do we actually have to work to survive? I mean, I made a choice a long time ago. I grew up I won't say actually where, but in an upper class suburb. And I was, literally could have become a lawyer or a doctor. But I chose to opt out because I could see, even as a teenager, that if I wouldn't actually have to earn a lot of money if I didn't want to play their game, if I moved out into the country. And I actually went homesteading out in the country, and I had nothing. I had my wife and a young child, and we learned a whole lot. And you learn very quickly when you take leaps like that. Some time ago, a few years ago, we took a big leap and went to teach in China. And there was lots of stories on the internet about, China. But we'd met some friends who had gone there for a year to teach, and they said it was such an exhilarating experience. We ended up going there for 1 year and ended up staying for 6 years in the same place, in a city. We got treated like celebrities. I'll certainly never get treated that way again. We got taken out to dinners and taken on tours, and we traveled extensively through China. This was about 8 years ago now, I guess. And this was a time when they were bringing in, this was Xi Jinping, they were bringing in full surveillance on every street corner. There were the surveillance, the cameras, and the people themselves, people are lovely. Everywhere we traveled, people in China, the problems are always with governments. They're not with the people of these countries. Doesn't matter where you go, the people are lovely there. They all want the same things that we do. And this was also the time when I was teaching history and culture. Sorry, do you want to?
Well, this is actually the end of the show, mate.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay, told
well,
you.
We'll just keep, We'll just keep talking.
It's the fastest hour in talk radio, ladies and gentlemen. Gregory, quickly, where can people find you and your work?
Well, I actually don't have much of a presence. Long time ago, I decided that I didn't want social presence at all. But if they really wanted to contact me, they could perhaps through you, they can contact you. And I don't have a website, and I don't have a Twitter account, and I don't have Facebook. I think I deleted my Facebook account. I don't actually want my, I like my privacy, and I want my privacy. And this, and coming on your show is an antithesis to that. I've probably just painted a big target on the back. But
One can only hope. But all right, well, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. Thank you.
To the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured...